So we're in a series we started last week titled Summer Wisdom. Summer Wisdom. And the whole purpose is to get a mindset for the summer. And this is part two today. And the big idea of the entire series is this. It's in your notes. I'll have Michelle put it up as well. God wants you to thrive this summer, not just survive. He wants you to enjoy the next 3 months. He wants you to experience it with a degree of inner fulfillment. Summer gets to be very busy for us all. We have so much going on in our society, but understand, God wants you to enjoy your life. And he wants you to thrive in the midst of the busyness, not just hang on and survive. So the title of today's message, it's in your notes, How to Be Wise Towards People. How to be wise towards people. We have a text that we're going to read together. It's Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Take the chair Bible in front of you, or use your own, and turn to page 986. The words of Solomon, he gives us wisdom of how to do life. And if there's anything that all of us need, it's wisdom in the choices we make day to day so that we can thrive, not just survive. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, page 986. Let's read that together. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. It's interesting, in these eight verses, wisdom is used repeatedly, but then in verse 7, the word victory is used. If you want victory in your life, we tie into and tap into God's wisdom. Lord, I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need your insight. And that puts us in a place of living with victory in our heart. It's a day-to-day deal, day-to-day choice. But today we're going to talk about how to be wise towards people. Now, this coming summer, the next 3 months, we will have hundreds and thousands of opportunities for conversation with people. It's just human nature. We interact with our family. We interact in our workplace. We interact in the community. And we have, literally, we'll have thousands of opportunities to talk to people. Our scripture here today tells us how to be wise when we talk to people. So in your notes, Colossians 4:5, let's read that together. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Circle the word wise. The word wise, there's worldly wisdom and there's heavenly wisdom. You know what worldly wisdom is? Get even and vindictiveness. That's the worldly wisdom. But spiritual wisdom is a higher level. It is wisdom that is pure, peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy. And here's what Paul is saying. I want in your personal relationship connections to be wise. Be wise toward outsiders. That means people that are outside the faith of Christ. But be wise towards people in general. He goes on to say this. Make the most of every opportunity. This summer, I want you to seize the moment of opportunities in conversation. And as we think about making the most of every opportunity, here's what it means. It means to redeem it and to rescue it from loss. We literally are on a mission to improve our conversations, to rescue from loss the casualness of sometimes we just talk with people. God wants us on mission with him, and he says, I want you to be wise in how you connect with other people. So today, it's all about relating to people, and I want to share three simple truths of how you and I can be wise this summer when we connect with other people. All right, in your notes, let's get started. Point number one is this. If you want to be wise toward people, be a good listener. Be a good listener. Read with me James 1:20 in your notes. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Circle the words quick to listen. Step one in your relationships with other people, be quick to listen. What does that mean? Be on your toes to listen. Make a special effort to listen. On the front end, when you're with somebody, listen to them. Now, there's a deeper meaning behind that. We're just not listening to their words. We're listening to their hearts. And so when it means be quick to listen, the first step in being wise in relating to people is to do just that. You want to be a person that receives what the other person is saying. Now, in your notes, I have this thing called a talk-listen ratio. Over the years, I've come to realize this. Here it is. Everybody has a talk-listen ratio. We are prone to talk a certain percentage of the time versus listening a certain percentage of the time. Now, the ideal is when we hit it 50-50. And I understand it depends on the context. Sometimes we talk more, sometimes we listen more. But I want to talk about two extremes. A person who is always a talker, when you get in a connectional relationship with them, here's what happens. If they're totally talk and no listen or very little, we feel smothered. Make sense? A person who talks so much smothers the receiving end. All right, let's flip it around. The person who is an extreme listener, it's hard to get it out of them. I mean, we're talking extreme. And it's frustrating being in a relationship or a conversation with somebody where you feel like you got to keep pulling it out. So two extremes. Now, the point is this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to find somebody, maybe in your family, or a close friend, and ask them this question. How would they rate you in your talk-listen ratio? In other words, where does it fall? Is it 40% talk, 60% listen? Where do the numbers land? I see people looking around right now. After the first service, there were some people going out the door, and they were having some conversation on this. I just kind of wanted to move out of that one. But the point is this, figure it out. Do it yourself. Analyze your own life. What's your talk-listen ratio? Are you more of a talker or a listener? Because we got to get a balance. Because you want to have a reciprocal relationship. You can get smothered if you talk too much. If you don't talk at all, it's very frustrating. You got to pull it out of them. Now, Stephen Covey in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody ever read that? Are you familiar with that book? It's great. Habit number 5, it's in your notes. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Let me stop here. If you're married, you have kids in your home, or you're dealing with parents, extended family, or even in the office, and you get into a conversation with somebody, principle number five, listen, seek first to understand, to listen what that person is saying, then you have an opportunity to be understood. Now, I've got some quotes I want to share with you. Here's the first one. We have but two ears and one mouth so that we may listen twice as much as we speak. Think about it. God gave us two ears, we got one mouth. Now, we want to have the right balance here. Here's another quote. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. You want to enrich your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your neighbors? Do a better job of listening first. Just listen for their heart. Listen for what they're saying. Now, here's another quote. Listening isn't just about hearing words. It's understanding the heart behind them. You know what people want in life? They want somebody to listen to their story. They just want somebody to affirm who they are, that they're of value. And listening is a key ingredient. Here's another quote, which I find greatly insightful. Most of the successful people I've known are the ones who do more listening than talking. If you want to add value to your family relationships and friend connections this summer, step number one, be intentional about listening. James says, be quick to listen. Don't engage the mouth just yet. Just be quick to listen. All right, point number two, and I just have to say I filled in the line already, so it's you don't have to do it. Be intentionally thoughtful when you speak. Be intentionally thoughtful when you speak. Read with me James 1:20 in your notes. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. All right, you do these in the right order. Quick to listen, and then we are slow to speak. So what does that mean? It means to be sluggish or to be unhurried. Don't be in a hurry to speak or to talk back to another person. It's just a principle of human connection. Now, on the back side of your sermon listening guide, let's read that verse, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, circle the word unwholesome. Let me tell you what that means. It means worthless. Don't let anything worthless come out of your mouth. Don't let anything that is rotten, corrupt, putrid, poor quality, unfit for use come out of your mouth. Now, we know that profanity is just out of bounds. God wants our hearts to be transformed so that that's not a part of our vocabulary. But there's a whole bunch of other words that we use that we need to filter. Now, everybody knows what a coffee filter does. You know, it holds the grounds, and you put the water on top of it, and it percolates, and the water drains through it, but it separates the grounds. A filter over our hearts and mouths keep the bad stuff back. People that have no filters on their mouth are the people who probably have the most damaged relationships. You know why? They don't survive. But rather, Paul says, don't let any unwholesome talk, anything that will be damaging, be careful, filter it. I mean, we all make mistakes, but the issue is make less and less and less mistakes going forward. You know why? God's word will shape your heart to improve the relationships with your family and your friends, the people you do life with. Now, he goes on to say this. only speak with your mouth that which build others up. Circle the word building. It's a construction term. And people who build stuff take the raw materials to make something good out of it. Now, here's the insight. Your words are containers of power to people. We don't think of them that way. And when you speak into their life and it's positive, you are building something inside them to affirm their value. Now, if stuff comes out of our mouth that is negative and destructive and it undermines who they are, we tear it down. And so Paul says, listen, be careful. Use a filter in your life in all that you say. I came across a story about a young boy who asked his father. He says, Dad, how did World War II begin? And his dad says, well, the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor. His wife heard this and said, she jumped in, she said, no, that's not right. It's when Hitler invaded Europe. The husband scowled at the wife and said, he didn't ask you, he asked me. Would you just butt out? The wife stormed out of the room, and just before she slammed the door, she said, well, if you're going to teach him, you'd better know what the facts are. The father then turned back to the son to continue the conversation. But the boy said this, that's okay, Dad. Now I know how wars get started. Proverbs 25:11, let's read that together. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Do you realize every word you speak is like a cash deposit into somebody's life? We don't think of it that way. But you're investing something of value into their life that can build them up or tear them down. Proverbs 18:21, let's read it. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, the word power, circle that. It means authority. When you speak into someone else's life, you are speaking authority, either for life or for death. Pastor Jack's been teaching a class, talking about the brain and how we need to reprogram for the sake of being positive. But the verse he's used, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, and right, whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. In other words, our vocabulary has to be of the nature that can build people up. Here's a few quotes. Your words as a parent have great power. Use them to support and inspire. Here's the next one. Your words can be powerful. They can hurt or uplift. So think before you speak, as every word you say counts. Next one's a good one. Here we go. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I've done that many times. Okay. Here's the next one. Be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. A lot of the truth to that, isn't it? They can only be forgiven, not forgotten. And here's the last one. Always keep your words tender just in case you have to eat them tomorrow. I mean, there's some good wisdom in that, right? Keep them tender. So point number one, summer wisdom. Listen, how to be wise towards people. Be a good listener. That's where it starts. As a matter of fact, be quick to listen. Quick. Number two, be intentionally thoughtful of what you say. James even says, be slow to speak. Don't engage it too early. Be thoughtful and deliberate. Be unhurried before you say something. All right. And finally, point number three. If you want to be wise towards people, let your conversation be full of grace. Full of grace. Read with me, Colossians 4:6. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So here's what Paul is saying. You need a salt shaker in your conversations with people. Salt adds flavor, and it also preserves. And so he says, I want your conversations to always be full of grace. What is that? It's a sense of kindness and blessing in how you talk to other people. Now, in this, he goes on to say, he says that you might know how to answer everyone. Here's what he's communicating. As a believer, a follower of Jesus, we need to become better at redeeming and rescuing our conversations with people. We listen, we talk intentionally and thoughtfully, but our conversation is marked and it's full of grace. Now, the word salt means to add flavor. And so when you talk, I want you to think of your words as containers of power that contain flavor to be a blessing and a help to the person you're talking to. So when the kids get together on Sundays at 5, some time ago, we came across a video where somebody took the acronym THINK, T-H-I-N-K, and they kind of teased it out. They did something for each of the letters. And it says, before you speak, think. And so I want to kind of land on point or finalize point three with this and walk through this. So before you're about to say something, think. Letter T stands for, is it true? First thing, is it really true what I'm about to say? I may have heard it from somebody, second or third hand. Is it really true? And is it worth repeating? Ask yourself, number one, is it true? Number two, is it helpful? Does it really somehow benefit the other person or the person I'm talking about? Does it build up? Is it helpful if I share this piece of information? Letter I. Is it inspiring? Does it lift up the conversation? Does it encourage someone? Does it make us feel good? Or does it just drag us down? So that is letter I. All right. Letter N. This is one of my favorites. Is it necessary? Let me stop here. You may know something that is true about somebody else. 100% you know it. But in a conversation, is it necessary that you share it? Can I tell you, there are times where something is true and you know it about another person, but it's not necessary to share it. You know why? You are a protector, defender of other people's reputation. And God is looking for people who filter only that which is necessary. Now, here's what I've learned about human nature. If you know something that's juicy, or if I know something that's juicy, there's this sense of high to be able to pass it along. It's juicy. Oh, did you hear about this person? It may be true, but is it necessary? And God is looking for his children to think before we speak. And if it's not necessary, it doesn't add to the value of the conversation. As a matter of fact, I will protect that person's reputation, even though it's true, because I don't want to bring it into the conversation. Is it necessary? And finally, letter K, is it kind? Does it really help the person I'm talking to or the group I'm a part of? Is it full of grace? Is it a positive message I'm sharing? Is it kind? And when you take these five categories, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And we filter all that. Here's what happens. Our conversations will be full of grace because we add salt to it. Salt is a flavoring and it preserves. And there's some things I can share because it lifts up and inspires. There's other things I don't want to share, even though it's true, it's not necessary. Your summer can be amazing following these three simple steps or principles. Number one, just to review, be a good listener. Start there. Be quick to listen. Seek first to understand the other person. Listen to their heart. Then to be understood. Number two, intentionally thoughtful. Wear the filter. Practice it. You may be here today and you say, you know, I haven't thought about this, but maybe, just maybe, God is speaking to my heart and I need to do better going forward in my filter, even with my family, with my kids, how I talk to them, with my parents, with my husband and wife. I need to be more careful at the office because I want to be thoughtful and I want to build people up. I don't want to tear them down. And Paul says, hey, be careful, be on guard. Don't let anything unwholesome, anything rotten, poor quality, unfit for use, careless, come out of your mouth. You know what? That will make you an attractive person going forward. People will love to be around you. You know why? When they get around you, they say, wow, that person is amazing. They're positive and uplifting. And then the last point, let your conversations be full of grace. Think before you speak. So let me go back to the verse, Colossians 4, 5. Let's read it together. It's the first part of your sermon listening guide. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So we got 3 months ahead of us. Want to be wise? Hey, make the most of every opportunity, every conversation, beginning today. And you know what's going to happen? You'll enjoy the summer in a higher level, all because you've asked God for wisdom and you're living by his guidelines to be a blessing to other people. Here's the final quote, final picture. Success is about taking advantage of opportunity. You and I have hundreds and thousands of opportunities beginning today after this service, talking to people. Redeem the time. Rescue it from loss. Be careful. Be wise in how you connect with people. And you know what? The end result, you'll feel better about yourself. You'll be a blessing to other people. Success will go to the person who seizes the moment and takes advantage of every opportunity to be God's man or his woman. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just take a few moments and let God speak to your heart. What's he directing you toward? What's he leading you into? How's he challenging your own heart to live, to be a better listener, or to have a better filter, or to think before you speak, and let every conversation be full of grace? Just take a few moments. And let him recalibrate your heart and your spirit. Father, in the quietness of this moment, we just all bring our hearts to you and we surrender our lives to Jesus. We just open our hearts and allow him to come in a fresh way. Rescue us from ourselves. rescue us from our own sin and living life apart from you. And Lord, going forward, may this be an amazing summer because we have a mindset of how to be wise in our relational connections with other people. I pray your blessing upon each person who's watching online, as well as every person here, that, Father, your grace would abound in us and through us, and every conversation we have would be full of grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.